You're listening to the Merry Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
It's the Merry Little Podcast.
Hello, I'm Jeff Westover, lead wise man at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com, the internet's longest ongoing celebration of Christmas, now in our 25th year of Christmas together online, and this is the Merry Little Podcast, which is almost like our regular podcast except it's lawyer-proof. A few months back, we wrote an article about the possible remake of It's a Wonderful Life, and how we would cast that movie if we had to use actors from today. It has been 70 years this year since the release of It's a Wonderful Life, and that movie over the course of 70 years has generated a story of its own that is quite interesting. The movie was expected to do well, but didn't. It was nominated for several Academy Awards, but lost. In the end, the movie was cast aside and forgotten until 30 years later when the copyright expired and television station operators resurrected it as a cheap means to fill airtime during the holidays. That gave the movie new life, and in time, it has since become not only a classic, but a movie so sacred that people literally blanch at the idea of a remake. Our suggestions for modern stars to take on old parts played by the likes of Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed and Lionel Barrymore fell not only on deaf ears, but on defiant souls as well, who gave us the Dickens for even thinking of a remake. Of course, the irony in all this is that the story talks of a do-over within itself as well, when Clarence tells George he has been given a great gift in seeing what life would be like if he hadn't been born.
Look, who are you?
I told you, George, I'm your guardian angel.
Yeah, I know. You told me that. What else are you? What are you? You a hypnotist?
No, of course not.
Well, then why am I seeing all these strange things?
Don't you understand, George? It's because you were not born.
Well, if I wasn't born, who am I?
You're nobody. You have no identity.
Oh, what do you mean, no identity? My name's George Bailey.
There is no George Bailey. You have no papers. No cards, no driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy. They're not there either.
What?
Zuzu's petals. You've been given a great gift, George. A chance to see what the world would be like without you.
Of course, the rewrite didn't end well for George, and that's the way we see our sacred stories of Christmas. From Santa Claus to the Grinch, we like our stories of Christmas just the way they are, and no one should rock the boat. Well, put on your life preservers. We're not only rocking the boat on a sacred story of Christmas, we're going to turn it over here. Now, before you break out your keyboards and start sending me hate email, I'm going to defend myself. Rewriting the classics of Christmas is a tradition in our own right that we claim, in the months leading up to Christmas every year. We're in production right now of a new episode of the Merry Podcast with a segment that analyzes the character of Scrooge from A Christmas Carol. Now, there's a character that's been written and rewritten over the decades, and nobody thinks twice about it. No matter what, we always give whatever form or version of Scrooge a chance. I was flabbergasted to read recently how much the 2010 animated version of A Christmas Carol made. You know, the one starring Jim Carrey in four or five different parts? I saw that movie and just about threw up, and that's how hollow it was to me. And it made $1 zillion. It gives me hope that maybe a movie will be made about the story I'm about to tell you. This story is about the Magi.
When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a star's light did fall, and the promise of ages it then did recall. I wonder, as I wonder, out under the sky.
Now, when I say that, there is a common perception of the wise men, and it is very much like an exchange I had recently in a Hobby Lobby store with another person who was eyeballing a nativity set that they had for sale there. Now, I love nativities, and it's a passing hobby of mine to shop for them. I hardly ever buy them, of course, because they're so expensive, and to me, most of them are really garbage. In other words, they don't really reflect the accurate story of Jesus. That was definitely the case with this nativity that I saw there at Hobby Lobby. It had the usual suspects, an older Joseph with a younger Mary, a baby Jesus that looked to be about 6 months old rather than a newborn. They were set in a barn with straw on the ground and animals who clearly had never dropped a thing and looked like they smelled wonderful just milling about there. And then there were the wise men, dressed to the nines, looking like they just walked out of Cinderella's ball, carrying their treasures and chests that looked like something out of Pirates of the Caribbean. As I gazed at this thing, I guess I sighed and shook my head because a lady there looking at it took note of my reaction and said, "What's wrong? Aren't you a believer?" I told her it was worse than that. Not only was I a believer, but I'm a purist, a teller of truth, a victim of biblical accuracy, and a sufferer of wanting to buy just one nativity that gets the story right. She looked at me and she said, "What's wrong with it?" Well, I couldn't help myself. For starters, I said, "I take all three of those wise men and break their little necks." Well, she was shocked, and she said, "Why would you do a thing like that for?" I told her it was because the wise men were not there when Jesus was born. She looked at me weird, and she said, "They weren't?" I said, "No, they weren't. The Bible says that they didn't show up for nearly 2 years. They didn't come to the manger. They found Jesus in a house as a child. You could look it up." And that, kids, is just one of the many myths about the Magi. The problem with the Magi is they don't fit really well into the narrative of the Christmas story. I prefer to tell the story of the birth of Jesus as telling the story of two babies, not just one. For me, it begins with the birth of John. I believe the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth and the birth of John is just as miraculous and just as interesting and compelling as the stories of Joseph and Mary. And it goes a long way to explain the circumstances we all know so well from the second chapter of Luke. Everyone in the story, you see, has a part to play that we can clearly understand. We can envision in our mind the shock and the wonder of the shepherds, as well as their joy at seeing an angel and being led to the manger scene. Likewise, we can understand the lineage of Joseph and Mary, and we admire their careful stewardship over the baby and their spiritual nature in accepting what has happened to them and to their lives. I think we can even understand the plight of King Herod. That wicked man who slaughtered the innocents to try to get to the Christ child. We don't like it, of course, but we understand his motivation. It makes sense, even if it is evil. But the wise men, well, okay, they're kings. And Christ, as we've always been told, is the King of Kings. We know that thanks to the prophet Isaiah, who 700 years before had told us that Christ would be born of a virgin in a manger and that he would be the King of Kings. Christ, we know, was prophesied. So too was Joseph and Mary, and frankly, even the donkey. Even Herod was foretold. Same with the shepherds. But the Magi? Well, they're a surprise. They don't fit as well in the narrative as everybody else does. In fact, there are merely two mentions of them alone in the New Testament, and both times, you know, they're really short on details. We have details that have been made up in movies and in song, but those came after the fact. The Bible itself is silent about exactly who the Magi were and where they came from and what they did, well beyond the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh stuff. Historians have been trying to explain them, and their conclusions fit even worse than what we've come up with in pop culture. If you go to the fountain of all knowledge and wisdom, better known as Google and Wikipedia, you're going to find explanations that the Magi were kind of, sort of, maybe like magicians from nearby Persia. There's no astrological records of any stars, so they can't explain that bit, but they were clearly foreigners because they caused quite a stir in Jerusalem. This is what the historians are going to tell you if you were to look them up. They talked a fanciful tale, and they caught the ear of Herod. Herod, who wasn't Jewish, he was a Roman conqueror, gives us no clue who they are other than to describe them as wise men and kings. That's all we've got to go off of, the word of a louse like Herod. The Bible gives us one other clue. They were wise enough to ditch Herod on the way back. They went another way. But that is the final word on the Magi. If we're going to get a clue at all about the Magi, let it come from the herald angels. Noel means a shout of joy tied to nativity or birth, and that's an interesting choice of words. In the Old Testament, God is talking to the prophet Job about the beginning of the earth, and he described it as a time when all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's a reference to what Jesus was talking about in his great intercessory prayer from the 17th chapter of John, when he speaks of the glory he had with God, quote, before the world was, unquote. In other words, Christ's coming was planned and known from the very beginning. Individuals like Job, like Joseph and Mary, like Isaiah, and yes, even like the Magi, knew what all this meant. They were part of that plan, and they were called to it. For those without much understanding of the Bible and where it comes from, you must first know that it is a collection of books. That's what the word Bible itself means. If you study its history, you know that there was a process and no short amount of controversy about which books were included and which were not included in the Bible that we have today. The world of scholars and scriptorians know these books of antiquity, and they read and compare them often to those works that we have in the Bible. Interestingly enough, they keep uncovering more of them as time goes on. In fact, in the news just this past week is the story of an archaeologist who has had for decades a scroll of ancient origin that they've not been able to read because it would fall apart and be destroyed if they tried to unscroll it. So it has sat there collecting dust and decaying more, both teasing and yet unable to yield its secrets to the world. Well, here we are now in the 21st century, and due to advances in technology, they've been able to scan this rolled-up scroll and peer into its brittle pages without destroying it. And it mostly confirms what we already know from the Bible. It's an exciting discovery, nonetheless, because it confirms, going back now more than 2,000 years, exactly what the Bible says. There are thousands of such books, and in 2010, found in the archives of the Vatican, is another one called Revelation of the Magi. It was translated by a scholar by the name of Brent Landau, and it is literally the story of the Magi told by the Magi. According to this text, the Magi were not from Persia. The word Magi is from their own language, and it means silent prayer. It tells us that the Magi were an ancient order dating back to the time of Seth, who was the third son of Adam. And he was, according to the Bible, quite the righteous prophet. His posterity were charged with escorting the Christ child into the world, and their sign was a star, which they did indeed follow to the Holy Land. In other words, like the others mentioned before, the Magi were informed and called to perform a function in relation to the Christ child. I'll bet it had nothing to do with gold or frankincense or myrrh, and that it was along the lines of what maybe Moses, Noah, and Elias did at the Mount of Transfiguration with the Christ just before his death and resurrection. The Magi, you see, were authorized. They had the holy priesthood of God, and it was under those auspices they came to Bethlehem to see the child. It's called Revelation of the Magi. I believe you can still get it off of Amazon. It's an awesome read, one that bears repeating season after season, and it changes entirely nearly every nativity scene ever sold throughout the decades. And I believe it represents more of a true picture of the Magi than what we've learned through the years. Join us at the Merry Forums at MyMerryChristmas.com, where our premier members have access to the full one-hour episode of the Merry Podcast with information similar to what you've heard here in this episode. If you have a question, comment, or Christmas that you'd just like to share, don't hesitate to drop me an email at jeff@merrypodcast.com. For MyMerryChristmas.com, I'm Jeff Westover, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.